As was earlier announced, the scripture this evening is coming from Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. Again, that's Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned.
All right, good evening. I'm glad to see everybody that decided to come back. I appreciate that very much. And hopefully this evening we are all edified and encouraged once again. I want to take this time to thank Don and Janice for the fantastic lunch today. And everybody got to come over and spend the afternoon over there. It was very good. We appreciate the hospitality there. When we think of our lives as, you know, Christians. I talked this morning about not being ashamed. You know, we talked about apostasy this morning. And, you know, sometimes as Christians, we are human beings, as we know, and things that happen in life, they can affect us too, you know, on every scale. I mean, turmoil, heartache, you know, strife, stress, the whole nine yards. We're not exempt from any of that. However, how we deal with those issues is what separates us from those who do not know God. We know God is the great comforter. We know he can see us through anything, you know, as long as we put our trust in him and as long as we seek out his guidance and his wisdom. And when I say stress and turmoil, you know, and things like that, everybody, oh, everybody gets that. Yeah, you know, we gotta, but what about anger? What about anger? Have you ever really thought about anger as being a struggle? If you're talking about anger, about being a sin, open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I thought I was already there, but I'm not. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to read verses 4 and 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Paul says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Let's talk about some things first as we talk about anger, and I don't have to describe you what anger is, but when we think about anger, let's look at some facts. We know, understand that God is capable of anger, okay? And if God is capable of anger, then obviously, you know, we are too. The seventh Psalm at verse 11 says, "God is a just judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day." You see, anger is used by the devil to separate us from God. And when we think about anger, and we understand when God would execute his wrath, especially in the Old Testament. You know, God would literally, you know, rain fire from heaven, you know, on cities to destroy them because of their wickedness. And when we think of us as humans, you know, and this guy will not mind me saying this. There's a gentleman at Franklin. In fact, in my reports, I mentioned he's the one who's battling ALS. Back before he was diagnosed with ALS and he was healthy, that man on a routine basis asked for prayers to help control his anger. He knew that, hey, I have an anger issue. I need the prayers. And mind you, this guy was baptized as a teenager, fell away for 24 years, I think it was, 24, 25 years, doesn't matter, a long time, and came back, you know, maybe 7, 8 years ago. You know, in the last 2 years, he'd been battling ALS. But as I said, he knew, hey, I got a problem. I need the prayers. I need to make sure that I can get through this. And we understand anger is mentioned in the Bible. Jesus himself got angry. Open your Bibles to the book of Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, let's read verses 1 through 5. Mark chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it says, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to them, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored." Listen, we have to understand as well as Christians that sometimes anger is appropriate. I just mentioned a minute ago about God, executing his wrath upon people. We understand that the apostles, they witnessed God's wrath and anger firsthand. What about Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts chapter 5? Remember that? The first, quote-unquote, liar, sin of the church. They were struck dead right in front of people. Boom, boom, 3 hours apart, right? And what happened? Great fear, came upon the church. I mean, imagine just being there and boom, boom, whoa. That woke you up, right? They saw God's anger in that moment. But listen, we got to understand. I want to be clear with this. Anger is meant to be resolved. Okay, it's not meant to be harbored. It's not meant to be expounded upon. It is meant to be resolved. James Baldwin, an author, said this. He said, "Rage cannot be hidden. It can only be disassembled." And the Holy Spirit teaches us how to disassemble anger. Ephesians chapter 4, at verse 26, very familiar verse here, I believe, for probably most of us in this room. When it comes to anger, when it says, "Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." That obviously implies settling a dispute before you go to bed, basically, right? If you're angry and go to bed, obviously try to resolve that issue. And if you think about it, that is probably the nearest thing to a thou shalt not in the New Testament. I'm here saying, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. But you flip back to the Psalms chapter 4 at verse 4. When it says, "Be angry and do not sin. Meditate with your heart," or within your heart, "on your bed and be still." In other words, don't act in haste. Sit there and think. How can I resolve this issue? How can I handle this issue differently than with anger? And if we sit down and really think about that and we pray about it, we'll come up with a way instead of just reacting out of anger. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, at verse 9, real quick. "Do not hasten your spirit to be angry, for angry rests in the bosom of fools." So anger, it must be resolved in order for that to happen. And that's going to take work on our part. And it may take a lot more work on someone else. I don't have an anger issue. I got a fuse as long as this county. It takes a lot to get me upset. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I don't struggle with this a whole lot. But when I do get angry, I get angry. I mean, it's like a switch goes off, right? So we all struggle with it. And we all should be able to recognize it. We know when we're about to lose it a lot of times, right? So if we prepare ourselves for this, it'll make us more aware of how to deal with that situation when it arises, because anger is dangerous to the soul. And anger is often the cause of sin. Look what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4 at verse 27. After he said that about not letting the sun go down your wrath, he says, "Nor give place to the devil." See, he's saying the devil's going to come in. If you go to bed with that hard heart, that angry heart, and you're just fuming all night long, you're tossing, you're turning, you're mad, you're beating your pillow, whatever, you're just angry, right? You just cannot seem to calm down. We're giving place to the devil in that moment right there, because we did not resolve that issue. So anger in nature is sinful. And again, this may describe us, because we all may know someone who is extremely quick to anger. Again, Ephesians 4:26, "Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down your wrath." A few verses later, Paul says, this is verse 31. He says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let's think about them two verses, Ephesians 4, verse 26 and verse 31. The best way I can think of to describe Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 is like starting a fire in the straw and you're quickly dousing it with the flames, or you're quickly dousing the flames with water. You're provoked, you become angry, but yet you restrain yourself from letting that turn into a full-fledged fire. Verse 31 is like a slow-burning fire that never goes out, but it only slowly increases in intensity. And you allow that anger to settle in your heart, and it goes unchallenged where it becomes a part of your character. I just said a second ago, we all know someone who probably has a quick fuse, so to speak. We also may know someone who is just constantly mad at the world all the time. The world is out to get them. The world's against them. Nothing goes right, blah, 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 blah. You hear it, and they're just constantly upset. That's what verse 31 is talking about. Those individuals aren't dealing with the problem. They're letting that problem fester. They're letting it settle. They're letting it grow inside them. And when they do, man, it's out of control. It's like a raging fire, right? They cannot get it under control anymore because they let it burn for so long. So knowing this, think of the old saying, anger is the wind that blows out the light of reason. Every situation has a reasonable end, but anger will blow that light out because we're reacting a lot of times immediately. We're not thinking things through. We're not thinking clearly. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Anger can cloud our reasoning. And because obviously everyone in this room is different when it comes to that, everyone has different reasons that they may become angry, let's think about some types of anger that's out there. Some types of anger. How about passive anger? Passive anger, just refusing to work with others. You're just uncooperative. I mean, you're that guy at work. You probably all have one. You know, the dude who just doesn't want to do anything he's told to do, doesn't want to help, doesn't want to be a team player, whatever, just constantly just looking for something to complain about all the time. How about those that are aggressive? The aggressive anger. Man, guys like to throw stuff. You ever seen those guys? I have. Man, being in the pipe fitters union for almost 30 years, I've seen a lot of saws, ladders, pipe wrenches, you know, because dudes get mad, man, and they just chuck them, you know. So there's that type of anger. How about the diverted anger? You know, with this, it's just a compulsive behavior. It's unrelated to any cause. They're just mad, you know, for no reason. Then you got the indirect anger. You know, it's anger that's directed at those who are closest to the person with whom one is angry. If I mean being mad at Matt, but yelling at Kelly about it, it wouldn't be doing me no good to yell at Kelly. That's fine. Right? No. So we go to the person, right? We'll get to that here in just a second. Now I know obviously some of those can all be blended together. But thankfully, the Bible, the Word of God, helps us to deal with anger. Open your Bibles to the 25th Proverb, if you would, please. The 25th Proverb. And we're going to talk about the six P's here. The six P's of anger. I'm sorry, the six P's to help us deal with anger, I should say. Proverbs chapter 25. The first one we're going to talk about is patience. Being patient. Don't be driven by emotion, but by reasonable thought and patient consideration. The eighth verse of Proverbs chapter 25 says this: do not go hastily to court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Okay, here's a person who believes that he had an open and shut case against his neighbor, but what he's found out, though, is, hey, my neighbor actually has a case against me. Now, had he not reacted hastily, sat back and thought about it for a few minutes, said, oh, you know what, man, he may actually flip the tables on me here. I better reconsider what I'm about to do before I go bring this to the court. He didn't do that. He responded without thinking things through. That's why Proverbs chapter 14 at verse 17 says, a quick-tempered man acts foolishly. How many of us in this room has lost our temper and felt about that big after we've done it? Probably every one of us, right? Absolutely we have. You know, because again, we're reacting in that moment. And our actions show, and but we don't act like we normally do. And we're embarrassed of that, aren't we? That's why a quick-tempered man acts foolishly, it says. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 13. For those of you taking notes, it says, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame. In other words, you're not even patient enough to hear the whole story. You're reacting before you even have all the details. Guilty as charged. Been there before. How do you feel at that moment? About like that big again, right? Boy, I'm really embarrassed. I really acted foolishly. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18 says this. He who is slow to anger calms or quiets, some versions say, contention. If we can work by being slow to anger, by being patient in our responses, the way we handle situations will be a whole lot better than what it would be if we reacted hastily. So as Christians, rather than trying to justify anger, we should be looking for ways to control it, be looking for ways to calm it down, not trying to find a way to say, hey, I was right. I had the right to act the way I did. Let's look for ways to control it. Next one is this, privately. Privately. Discuss the reason that you're angry with somebody in private. But boy, oh boy, in today's world, whoo, boy, if someone does you wrong, what's the first thing you do? Facebook, bing, you know, pull it out, you know, send out the tweets or whatever, you know. Oh, we want the world to know how someone harmed us, right? We want everybody else to, hey, look how good I am, but look what this person did to me. What good is that doing? There's no one in this room give me a good answer because there's not a good answer for that. No good answer at all. Scripture says in Proverbs chapter 25 in our text there, verse 9 and 10, he says, debate the case with your neighbor and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. So you blast that out on Facebook that this person did you wrong. Well, some of your other buddies reads and say, hey, bro, you did the same thing to me. Hey, so-and-so, remember when you did this to me? Same thing. Oh, didn't all the people read your comments? Oh, you did the same. You see? Boy, all of a sudden, you don't look as good as you thought you looked, did you? No, now other people, the world basically, knows how you acted in a moment. You're not proud of that. You may be embarrassed of it, but because you reacted hastily, not patiently, you didn't do it privately, now everybody knows the one moment that you acted a fool. And what's it say in verse 10? Your reputation be ruined. You see, anger carries a huge responsibility, a huge burden of responsibility. Matthew chapter 5, open your Bibles over there. Matthew chapter 5. We'll go back to Proverbs here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 5. I just want to give a couple examples of how things were handled in the proper way. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Jesus is saying, stop what you're doing. Go find your brother and be reconciled to him. Flip over a few pages to Matthew chapter 18 at verse 15. Jesus says, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone, it says. And if he hears you, you have gained your brother. Jesus is basically saying what the proverb writer has already said. Do it in private. Do it secretly. Do it alone. Don't do it in front of anybody. And Jesus is saying the exact same thing here. All these verses are implying that we settle our disputes before moving forward and to do our best to forgive the person who has harmed us, who has angered us. Think about this. Guilty as charged here too. That's parents. What about if we air our differences out, you know, in front of our kids or out in public or whatever? What about we're just going at it out in public? How does that look? Now apply that same principle to your church family. What about you and your wife or you and your husband? Man, you're just going at it all the way to church. You guys are bickering back and forth. You hop out of the car, you walk in. Hey, how you doing? Man, I'm great. Hey, you just got done fighting for 20 minutes with your wife. You come in here, hey, you're telling me that anger's went away that fast? Oh no, we come in steaming, don't we, sometimes? Come on, come on. We've all been. I know I'm not the only one, so don't even act like that. You know, it happens. We're human, right? It happens. You see? But listen, when we let that anger come in, we're not resolving it in time, and it can come into the church. We come in here angry. Where's our mind at? What about if we can't put on the front? What if we come and just sit down? Not saying a word to anybody. Let's say a visitor walks in. Hi, I'm here for the first time. I'm going to go talk to someone else. How does that look, guys? See, anger can reap so many issues in our life that we may not even be really aware of from time to time. So listen, it's always better to deal privately with your anger, which leads to the next P, and that is to be prudent, all right? And prudent means to think of a way that shows care and thought for the future. A way to show care and thought for the future. In other words, choose words carefully when anger approaches. And before you speak, try to think of the damage that can be done if you should utter those words of anger. Because you know we can't take them back once they're said, right? Proverbs chapter 25 in our text, verse 11, says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver." Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it was quoted this morning, I believe, in the class. Someone said, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Do we think about that? Do we think before we react? Well, listen, we all know that there are several ways of saying things. You walk up to a guy or girl you're dating or your wife, and you say, "Hey, listen. Man, when I look at your face, babe, time stands still." "Oh, that's so romantic. You know, that's so great." Why would you say, "Hey, babe, I've seen better looking faces on clocks"? See? Totally two different meanings there, right? Which one are we going to say in anger? Which one may we say in anger? You see, the way we say things are, "Hey, man, you are such an airhead. You have no idea what you're talking about." Versus saying, "Hey, I respect your opinion on that. Let's discuss mine. Let's even come to a mutual agreement on this." You see, there's different ways of approaching things. And how we approach it determines the outcome of things like that. You know, listen, we're not likely to handle anger prudently if we are impatient, if we are unreasonable, and if we only want to be heard. You know, listen, we have to let other people talk. We have to let other people, quote unquote, plead their case, if you will. Because again, we have to get the whole story, right? We have to know everything that's going on in order for us to draw a conclusion based on the facts. So listen, we know we need to be patient, as I said. We know that we are to do things in private. We know that we are to be prudent. And next, we need to be persistent, man. We need to be persistent. Never allow anger to take charge. In our text, Proverbs chapter 25, at verse 15... says, "By long forbearance or patience, a ruler is persuaded, and a gentle tongue breaks a bone." A gentle tongue breaks a bone. What's the old saying? You know, kill them with kindness. That's pretty much what we're talking about here. If someone is angry with you and they are literally giving you the what for about something, you respond back in a calm, respectful manner, you're going to hurt. Remember, he coals a fire on their head, Scripture tells us, right? That's what you're going to do. Only those who persistently control their anger with long forbearance and with that gentle tongue can change a situation for the better. Proverbs chapter 15 at verse 1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." So that's why we need to respond positively. The next one, positively. Respond positively. Positive action, not negative reaction. In our text in Proverbs chapter 25, verse 21 says, If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. Well, you flip over into the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, verses 19 through 21, we're pretty much going to see the exact same thing here. It says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but what? But overcome evil with good. And God has repaid us good for evil. So what should be our response to his love? For doing that, for sending his son. We finish chapter 4 at verse 32, gives us some instructions there. What's it say? And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. And forgiveness is a whole other lesson, as far as that goes, you know, when it comes to this. But listen, that's what we're told to do in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And this P here that we're talking about is arguably where we stumble the most when we become angry. You know, we may strive to be patient, you know, when we're angered. You know, we may not, you know, like irrationally, as I said. You know, we may not do it in private. We know we need to be prudent, careful in the choice of our words. We need to be persistent, and that is resisting the urge to be angry. But very little do we respond sometimes in the area of positive action or mending the fences, so to speak. Because we want someone else to come to us and tell, hey, I'm sorry I did that to you. We want them to come to us and apologize. Versus us going to them and apologizing. Because again, we think we're right, right? Hey, we're never wrong. We're always right. We always have to find a way to justify our anger. So the last P that I want to talk about may hit home a little bit more because it is now personal. It's personal. What I mean by that is this. Controlling anger must begin inside us. Not by changing others, but by changing us. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 8, if you're still there. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. You know, the city down the road may have broken down walls, but that does not help my city at all. But I have to go to work in my own city. If my walls are broken down, I have to build up my own walls before I can go and build up anyone else's walls. That's basically what that verse is saying there. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, in the parable of the unforgiving servant there, the king forgave his debt, right, as we know. So there was no need for him to go out and to demand that everyone deal fairly with him. You know, that parable was for Peter's benefit, to remind him to stop focusing on how others were treating him and to start remembering how much mercy God has shown to Peter. And that's the wake-up call to us. We need to remember how much mercy God has shown us and continues to show us. That's the point. So as we wrap this sermon up, all of us are going to be angry at some point. And as I said, we're going to get angry where we think it's not justified, okay? But we must get past this sense of human pride. Because as another old saying goes, you can't spell danger without spelling anger. And where there's anger, usually danger is right around the corner. So let's not give place to the devil. Let's not give him room to wiggle in and cause you to be just one frustrated person all the time. Let's forgive others of their offenses, which is done by considering how much God has forgiven us. Remember, folks, it takes two flints to start a fire. Let's just make sure that we're not one of them. Last verse in the lesson is yours. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Everyone in this room probably knows it. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Thank you so much for your kind attention this evening and this morning as well. I hope this lesson has been a benefit to some. It has obviously benefited me, and I'm glad that we can talk about these issues that may be a challenge to us. But we never want to close or offer an invitation to someone in this audience who may be in a state of anger, who may really deal with this on a whole other level. I may not understand it. It may not make any sense to me. How can you be like that? That's okay. That's not me. That's them. But let me tell you something. Don't be afraid to come forward and ask for the prayers of the church to help you through dealing with your issue on anger, because God will help you through that. But if you're here this morning, or this evening, I should say, and you never obeyed the gospel, we never want to close as well as I'll give you that invitation to become a New Testament Christian by being baptized in that water given baptism, having that hope of heaven. Raise up a soldier of Christ, a new creature, ready to start your spiritual journey, knowing that if we live faithfully here for a short time, we can spend eternity in heaven one day. If that's you and you make any changes, do so right now. It's time to sing the song Matt has selected.